Welcome back to the Sight to the Blind. I got a special guest on. It came out of nowhere, really. I just happened to read the comments of this comment section of my last episodes, and then brother just reached out to me. So I feel like if we really one and the same, that I definitely got to know more about this brother's walk and his journey to the Most High. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Shalom, family. My name is Brother Jason Winchell. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm a teacher and a coach by trade. Been walking since 15 is when I met my wife. And so I could talk about that, how I got into the walk. But basically, she basically introduced me to who Yahuwah was, the beginning stages of who Yahuwah was, if that makes sense.
So what were you doing before you met her?
So before that, I was in, I was a womanizer, basically, is what I was. I was in churchianity. I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school 12 years of my life. I went from first grade through 12th grade. Went to college, dabbled in marijuana, and that kind of deterred me, veered me off course of where I was supposed to be going. But everything's for a reason. But before I met my wife, basically that's what I was doing. I was basically when I met my wife, I thought I was trying to sleep with her, but she kind of said something to me that kind of sparked something in me. And I was like, oh man, I need to be doing the right thing, man. So I guess I could talk about what she said. So basically I met my wife here in Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, and we were working for State Farm. And I didn't know her from the man in the moon. We actually got put together. We were cubicle neighbors. We were working a storm. I think it was like Hurricane Sandy. I forgot what storm it was, some storm or whatever. And we were cubicle neighbors. So it was just out of the blue. So it was Yah's timing the whole time. So they put us together. There was hundreds of people in his office, and they just put us together. And I met her, and then we were kind of passing notes to each other. She was helping me out with work at first. We was passing notes to each other, and then I asked out on a date. And then I'm thinking, in my worldly self, that we know what worldly men do. We ask for a woman out on a date, you know what goes on. So anyway, she said, well, we can go on a date. We can go to this hotel room, but we're not doing anything. I said, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, well, whatever. She's just talking noise, whatever. I'm in the world. I don't know. So I go to the hotel room with her, and we're sitting there and we're just talking. And I'm like, hey, and I'm trying to make a move. She said, to be honest, she said, Jason, I'm not having sexual relations with anyone until I get married. And then before that, kind of back it up, I was always a man who always felt like he was doing the right thing, but was not fully in the truth yet. I didn't know who Yahuwah was. I didn't know what the truth was. I wasn't following his commandments all the way. But I thought I was until I met her. She was telling me about, hey, we shouldn't be eating pork. You shouldn't be praying a rosary. You shouldn't, all these things that Catholicism has taught me my whole life. And I was like, man, you tripping. But it's crazy. She wanted me to share this. So she said that when we got married, and this is how I know Yahuwah put us together, because I met her, like I said, at State Farm in Atlanta. She told me what she said, so we didn't have sex at all. And then we dated for a month. A month, bro. And guess what happened after that? We had a talk at Waffle House. We just opened up. We were just talking. I was telling her about, I was basically confessing my sins to her, like what was going on, and she was listening to me. And basically, long story short, I proposed to her before I went back to New Orleans, because I was living in New Orleans, and I proposed to her, and we got married. We went to a courthouse and we got married. And I'm sorry, I'll get back to what she said. So basically, we had our rocky start. Like, it wasn't like smooth sailing. It was never smooth sailing in the beginning. It was just like, and we both were having doubts that should we have gotten married that quickly? Yada, yada, yada. My family's telling me, you crazy. You don't know this girl from the man in the moon. She using you, yada, yada, yada. But I'm like, when I told her, I said, mom, I really feel like the most, I didn't say the most high, but I'm gonna say the most high now. I said God at that time, but I really felt the most high put us together. And then, kind of losing track of what I'm saying, but
what did she say to you?
Okay, I went to go visit a friend, a longtime friend of mine, who are one of my dad's friends, and he was in like an Israelite camp, is what he was. So he and my wife said, Man, I called her one day because she was trying to tell me about, not eating pork and, getting rid of Catholicism. I was like, nah, you don't have to do that. The Bible said we could eat pork, yada, yada, yada. And then she was like, okay. So she said she was praying and she was praying to the Most High. She's like, Father, I don't think I'm supposed to be married to this man. She basically was about to bail and run on me, is what happened. And she said a voice, she said an audible voice. And I believe her. She said an audible voice came out. She said, be patient. He's gonna come around. And she said, 5 minutes later, I called her, and I remember I called her from my friend's house. And I was like, "Bae, whatever you learning, I want to know."
Wow.
And that's what started my journey.
Wow. That's crazy. When you know, you know.
Oh yeah, Coke. That's what it was.
And what did you have to let go of as far as advice? I know you said you were a womanizer. Was there anything else other than just womanizing that added to the vices that were hard to let go?
Yeah, so I'm from New Orleans, so we're known for partying and drinking and reveling. So that was part of it. Getting rid of that. Marijuana was a big vice for me. I think I picked that up in college and I dropped it, but that was a big vice for me. But really the big thing was the womanizing, because I was like really bad, man. And I was a coward too, man. I was a liar. I was not a good person. I'm nothing like the person that I used to be.
Right. And you talking about like you were lying, jumping from bed to bed, being
All of the above,
deceived.
all of the
Yeah.
above, all of the
And
above.
how did you let that go? Because I know most of it has to do with lust and pride and knowing that you can accomplish getting women into bed. So did you struggle with lust at all?
Yeah, Coach. I from time, that's probably one of my battles that I struggle with to this point. You know what I'm saying? Like to this day. Like I pray about it. Like obviously, like you said in your show, we as believers, we don't sin every day. But that's something I have to remind myself, man. Look, she's beautiful, but man, just come on, man. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what
Right.
I'm saying? But how did I let it go? I what I just said, like my wife, when I met her, I thought I was gonna sleep with her. But when she told me something, I woke something like, Jason, dang, she's trying to wait till she's getting married. You know that's what you're supposed to be doing. You
Right.
know that's what you're supposed to be doing. So that's what kind of turned me around real quick.
And how was it so far with her, with you guys doing the feast days, set apart days? Have you grown and learned together, or you feel like you're equal at this point? You feel like you still kind of lag behind her, or you feel like y'all equal in the walk right now?
Nah, so to kind of back it up, she the Yahuwah that she introduced me to was in a camp. So obviously that wasn't
Right.
Yahuwah was. So basically she gave me the lighter. I lit a forest fire, if
And
that
you
makes sense.
just
I'm the lead. Yeah, so she's behind me. Like there's things that I'm still trying to drag her with that she's
okay.
kind of fighting with me on. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, she's not cause I'm the leader.
Yeah, that's how the Most High really does it. Like he'll light that fire in you, or he'll plant that seed, and then you're supposed to sprout. So then you start to be a coverer because you are the shade, you are the tree or the mighty oak. And what do you think you suffer or struggle with in a relationship now? If you
Her,
don't mind me asking.
no problem. Her just her being submissive. Like I sent a lot of, like you actually talked about something, a sister, Susanna Scriptures, I
Yes.
believe. And I actually sent that to her, and I need to follow her to see if she listened to it yet. But I always send her things. Like I see things, and then I'll share things with the Bible, and she's like, "Well, you like she'll just take it off to something where." I'm like, and it's like we're talking about the Most High. We should be happy about this. We're both in the truth. Why are you getting upset with me? I'm not telling you something that I'm trying to hurt you.
Right.
It's just a pull. It's just a pull and tug with her trying to submit him. And when she said, I can't trust her. I said, well, do you trust Yahuwah? She said, yes. I said, so if you trust Yahuwah, the only way you get to Yahuwah is if you get under me, because I'm under Yahusha. Yahusha's under Yahuwah. So if you try to go it any other way, then you like a thief in a robbery. You can't go no other way because you married to me.
And I think it's weird because I think it's more has to do with the men that she don't see. It's because we are a physical representation. It's like, but when they know the Most High's up there, they know he's righteous. He's all that. They haven't been hurt or abused by the Most High. So when they look at the physical representation of what Yahuwah is supposed to be, they still like a little standoffish. Like they can't deal with a man telling them in this generation, telling them or leading them in a way that they should go, but they rather hear it from somebody who's they haven't seen before. And I think that's something that we struggle with as men. As far as your headship and your leadership, do you feel like you have those qualities? Of course, you're a coach, so you have to have qualities to be able to lead young men. Do you feel like you had those qualities all your life, or is it something that you had to sharpen throughout time?
Coach, Larry, I was a coward. I was a coward in my former days. I was a coward. I was a liar. I was nothing like what I am now. One of my prayers I pray every day is to be as shrewd as a snake and be bold as a lion. I know a lot of people come on here and say they warriors. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm ready to do whatever for you. If it's my job, if it's my wife, if it's my kids, I'm for you. It's all the way. It's all the way up with me, coach.
And how were you able to, and any time during your coaching, ever talk to the young brothers and lead them to Yahuwah too? Or is this still a touchy subject, especially when they're not really involving religion into these teams in this generation?
So I'm in a public school, so it's kind of touchy with religion, but I always try to sneak something in there. Like even in my classroom lessons, I always preface, like, I'll read a lot of books, and one of the books I read is the Bible. And something I got from the Bible is XYZ. So I kind of leave it in there like that. But I don't use the name, like Yahuwah's name, but I'll say the Most High, if that makes sense. I don't even know if they're ready for that, if that
Well, I
makes
mean,
sense.
you just planting seeds, and obviously years long, like, oh, Coach Jason said this, or Teacher Jason said that, and that's when it starts to really click. And it's always like that when we get older, we start reminiscing about the teachers or the good teachers that we had in school, and that's something that we never forget. Growing through this walk, do you feel the correction when you know you're doing something wrong? And how does that correction look for you? I know for me, it could be I'm missing out on an opportunity for money, or it could be somebody dent my car, something weird like that. So what does it look like for you when the Most High corrects you?
Larry, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm scared to do anything against the Most High. I'm afraid. I'm definitely afraid because at the end of the day, I know how, well, not to be proud, but I feel like my relationship with the Most High is really good. So I feel like if I step out of that, it's like I'm gonna throw away everything that I've been working so hard to achieve, if that makes sense. So as when he correct, when I'm trying to think, when he corrected me in the past, how did I feel it? It would be little things. It would be little things. It's something in my spirit of Ruach that tells me you're not supposed to be doing this, Jason. You know, y'all, even with my wife before I was even in the truth, something in my spirit said, Jason, you're not supposed to be trying to fornicate with this woman. You're not supposed to be doing that. You know what I'm saying? And then when I actually did something, I'm trying to think if I when I did something, what did he do? But it's like I said, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. But like you said, when we're in this world, we don't sin every day anymore. We don't sin every day.
So if you feel like you ever misstep or transgress, it would be due to what? Frustration, anger, or things that you're still feeling? How does that look for you?
Patience. Patience is a big thing for me. Patience.
Okay.
Because a lot of because I know because I study the word every day. Every day we get up, me and my son, we pray to Yahuwah. Like my son, he's 15. I'm teaching him the way he should go, if that makes sense. So me and him, he reads the Bible on his own, on his like he tells me what he's reading. Like right now he's reading. He started from we listen to Truth Unedited as well together. And sometimes he'll listen to it on his own, but right now he's reading the first five books on his own. So, yeah, just and the reason why I'm doing that obviously is because you know we've strayed away from Yahuwah. So like you said in your previous shows, they're gonna look back and say, who was the one who told us in our family we should follow Yahuwah? And they probably y'all willing, they're gonna look at me and say, it was your grandfather, it was Jason.
That's the goal. That is the goal. And as far as scripture is concerned, what parts of the Bible you feel like really stuck out to you or called to you and say, okay, this is how I want to be? Is any character or any parts of the Bible that's like that for you?
Yeah, I read either Ecclesiasticus, Ecclesiastes, Wisdom of Solomon, Proverbs. I read at least one chapter out of that book every day. And then I read one chapter in the Old Testament every day. And then I read at least one psalm a day. But one psalm that stuck out to me recently, I read Psalms 23, and he talking about it says talk it's talked about bringing me through the cycles of righteousness. And I feel like that's what's been happening with me from 2015. I've been going through cycles of righteousness. I wasn't getting it all the way right, but I was getting it right, and I was getting it right, and I was getting it right. It's like a cycle. Like I'm not a finished product now. Like I'm still going. I'm still like I'm not perfect, but I'm still trying to get to that goal of obviously I got my eyes on the prize.
And for this world, are you, I know you coach, so you have to be in the world at some point. But as far as the rest of the world, have you come away from it? Or are you denying most of the world because it's just either lame or it's just not for you anymore?
It's lame, man. I argue with my family all the time, man. Obviously, I'm the outcast. I'm the black sheep. And I argue with my family all the time. Like today, I actually got off a text message and said, man, y'all pagans, man. Y'all over here talking, eating pork, celebrating Mardi Gras, celebrating Christmas, celebrating Thanksgiving. Like, y'all, basically, everything y'all do, y'all claim y'all Christians, but everything y'all do is not in the Bible. And then, and it's funny, Larry, I was talking to, we on like this big text group in my family. It's like most of everybody in my family. It's probably like a text group of probably like 15, 16, maybe 20 people on it, right?
Dang.
And then yeah, we're a pretty close-knit family. We're really close.
Okay.
But obviously I'm kind of veering away because they not letting go. And obviously I try to talk to my mom, like you talk to your mom. I try to talk to all my cousins, they're not trying to hear it. But at the end of the day, they just it's that stronghold is just it's so much on it. They don't want to let go. It's like and it doesn't matter if I come with the Bible truth, a truth, and the Most High gives me words to say. It's not like I'm just coming with this on my own. The Most High is telling me what to say at this during these interactions. And I'm like, I know what I'm saying has validity and is hitting you, but you like, oh, I don't want to hear it. And it frustrates me. So I get so frustrated. Like sometimes, obviously, like and that's another thing you talk. I'm thinking about it. I do have a problem with like saying like cuss words, like outside coaching, and then when they say things, I get mad. I talk to one of them. I call them out of their names. Not my wife, but call them out of their names. I'm like, man, they so silly. And I don't say silly. I say stupid. I say they so silly. You know what I'm saying? They not listening. They know what I'm saying is right, and I know I'm right because I'm reading. I'm telling you what it is. I can show you. I send you scriptures. I copy and paste it. And you still not trying to listen. You call yourself a Christian. You love the Most High. What are we really doing here?
Right. I don't understand it either. Like it's you really have to have a real patience for that. You got to take one family member at a time, or one that seems like they want to know more. Because in this world, man, they don't never think like Yahushua said, a prophet is not without honor in his own home or in his own country. And it's like that when we wake up. It's like we can reach strangers from all across this world, but we cannot never, or we can never reach those who are blood related to us because they just don't see the vision or understand what's going on. They just know us from when we were in the world. And that's what they're used to. They're used to our representation or our image of ourselves with them in the world. So it's like there's no way in the world he's better than us or they think he's better than us. So in doing so, you have any brothers, sisters, and all that you tried to reach or wake up?
Everybody who knows me knows what I represent, Larry. They know what I represent. When I walk in a room, like you said, like I've had other guests say, you might have said this too on the show. I know you've said it. When we walk in a room, people who are really in the way, who will have the Ruach HaKodesh, have that, possess that. We walk in a room, we can feel the energy is the tensions on us and the energy changes. So everybody who I know, even people at work, they know that's Winchell. He's a little different. He's a little different. And that's fine. That's the lot that I chose. That's the life that I chose. I'd rather them look at me as an outcast, an overzealous, whatever you want to call it, and then I'm with Yahuwah for eternity, and you back there doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I
Are
take
you a
that
football
too.
coach?
Yes, sir. Yes,
Well,
sir.
okay. What do you see the problem with the young youth today, especially with the boys? Do you see the what issues could arise that'll make them turn into monsters or just, tears to the fire?
Larry, to be honest, a lot of they're too soft, bro. I think they're too soft nowadays. I really do. Like at the end of the day, football, you play high level Division One college football, you was in the NFL. I watched you growing up as a kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm a running back coach. So you have to be violent. But a lot of these, some of these kids have, but a lot of these kids, like off the field, like I see guys, I'm not gonna name names, but they got some guys in college football, they painting their nails, they doing all this. I'm like, bro, you playing football, bro. Like, what are we really doing? Like And I know it's an agenda. Obviously, it's trying to get our young boys to imitate that and mimic that and bring that to the world and pass that on to their kids and their friends or whatever. But I'm like, but I try to tell them like, and I try to plant, like you say, plant seeds. Like I don't just sometimes I guess the spirit tells me when to go full force and when to kind of just just say something, just plant a seed and just chill, and then come back, plant a seed and then just chill. But I think, to be honest, they kind of soft, and I think a lot of men in this world, they soft, they like you say, effeminate. They effeminate, bro. They soft. Like, and I'm not saying you have to be hard, rugged all the time, because I'm a compassionate guy. I am, and I love hard. I love hard. I cry. You know what I'm saying? I cry, like, when something hurts me and it hurts my feelings. Obviously, I'm not no wimp. I'm not gonna just cry for no reason. But if something touches me, I'm not afraid to cry. And I think that's what makes a man. If you're not afraid to show your emotion, you know what I'm saying? If you gotta hide something, what you scared of? Is somebody gonna laugh at you? That's on them. That's how they feel.
So that's a difficult thing to know and to understand, especially when you have a 15-year-old son. I mean, does he see any differences between the way he walks and the way his, kids at school, his classmates walk? Does he come to you and say, "Hey, this is what they're listening to. This is what they're trying to be like. This is the image that they see." Does he come to you with that at all?
Nah, he doesn't, because at the end of the day, Larry, I think, like you might have said it in one of your shows. You said we're waking up. We as adults, we this generation, 30, 40, 50, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, we're waking up. So we're coming out of what the world was. He basically is being introduced to this from a young age. So now he's able to be like, okay, I know, because I tell him all the time, I say, look, you have to use wisdom. You know, people are gonna come at you, they're gonna say things. Actually, you're a student at the school that I teach at, you're a mark. They're looking at you. They know about me. I've been there for 2 years before you. This is my third year. You're a freshman. They're gonna look at you. They're gonna try to find chinks in your armor.
Right. And how do you coach those young men to be men? Do you pull them to the side? Are they coming from, first, are they coming from broken families? And you know they're coming from broken families. Because I feel like most of these young kids that are, you say, that are soft, they're coming from houses where it's just their aunties, their mothers, their big mamas, and like it ain't nothing in the house but women. Do you see that or feel that at all?
I don't think there's a cookie cutter situation for anything. I really don't. I think it's on an individual basis. Certain kids I can talk to in a certain way. Certain kids I have to love up on and be softer to, just to get them to be motivated or whatever I need them to do. So I don't think there's a cookie cutter situation. I guess my coaching style is new school, but it's old school too, because I think both have good qualities, but I don't think one is definitely better than the other, because I think both have good qualities.
How do you see yourself in the next 10 years, Ramit? How do you see yourself in the next 10 years as far as what's going on in the world? How are you preparing your family for, I know, economic collapse, or they're doing the climate change, but we know that's them playing with the weather. Are you prepared now, or you know you're going to be prepared later?
I'm preparing now. Like, so we have in my house, we have is my wife. My wife, she's a smart cookie. She has these big old barrels of I guess food, where you put water on and it becomes a meal. We have two barrels, and it has like probably like 150 meals in each. We have two of them. And then I got canned goods, stocking up on water, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I know that's not my supply. That's just my resource. You know what I'm saying? Your is my supply. So I'm doing what I can do. But at the end of the day, I know if we didn't have nothing, or somebody came in and we had to leave the house and we didn't have any of this stuff, I know that Yahoo was going to take care of us. I know that.
Good. What else? Do you feel that's on your plate right now that keeps you preoccupied in scripture?
In scripture, what keeps me knowledge, Larry. I think that's something I always read. That's why I read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Book of Solomon, Wisdom of Solomon, because I know I read something in the Bible that said, "He who loves knowledge loves his own soul." I love my soul. I want to be with you. So I thirst for knowledge. If it's in a Bible, that's why I went from reading the Bible. So I just read a lot of books about coaching football. I think that's why I'm so. Well, one of the reasons why I'm really good at coaching, because I read, because I like to read. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't like to read, but in the Bible, I'm on a quest for knowledge and better way and learning how to better serve Yahuwah, and that's what I'm on, coach.
And you said you came from Catholicism, right?
I did, yes, sir.
So did you do all of the kneeling and standing rituals and stuff? Did you ever
Every
read the
Sunday.
Bible when you were in Catholicism?
Not in Catholicism, but when I went to the non-denominational church, that's when I started reading about it. To be honest, Larry, when I was in Catholicism, what woke me up, what really started me on my walk is I opened up the Bible and read the book of Revelation. When I read the book of Revelation, that's what showed me that, you know what? People saying I'm not doing that bad of a sin, but according to the Bible, I'm going to hell. So something needs to change. So that's what got me on. That's starting on my cycles of righteousness, if that makes sense.
And then your parents, did they have the Virgin Mary, the statues, everything in there? They still have them in there today?
All of the above. Larry, I'll be every time. Larry, I'm gonna tell you something funny, man. I was at my mom's house. We went for a funeral a couple months ago. My cousin just died, and she had like a crucifixion on a TV stand. I remember you said, man, we should go in their houses and steal the crosses and destroy it." And I was like, "Man, I should do that." I said, "No, nah, I'm not gonna do that." But I was thinking, I was like, "I should just pick it up, grab it, and break it and throw it in the trash and stuff." But I won't go do that. But that's my zeal. My zeal is like that. I want them to come out of it so bad. But I do know, in my heart of hearts, everybody's not gonna make it. I do know that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who the Most High chose. All I could do is plant the seed, like the Bible said. I plant the seed. Who is the one that's gonna make it grow?
What's the most difficult part of this walk for you?
My family. It's my family. It's my family. Like I said, we're a very close-knit group of people, and it's hard seeing them not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I don't know if they think what they're doing is going to be enough. According to the word, it's not enough. Because I'm not doing it perfectly. So I'm not doing enough, but I have grace. I'm trying. I'm keeping the feast days. I'm trying to keep the Sabbath, even though I got to go to work. You know what I'm saying? But I try to uphold what I have to do. Like today is the new moon. I blew the shofar. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my best. I'm making an effort. My family, who I love dearly, they say they're trying, but they're not trying because I'm telling them, and I know they know because they've been around me for my whole life. And they, obviously, I'm not the same person that I was growing up, and they know how I'm walking. They're like, well, Jason, he's a little different, but he, like my mom even told me one day. She said, yeah, she said, you back in the day, you used to say stuff, but I knew. I didn't think you were crazy because I knew you were saying some stuff that was valid, but she's still not ready to accept it. And that's just so frustrating for me. I'm like, so if you see all of these things, you see me walking, you see how the Most High is blessing my life, why don't you just come over here? Like, what are we really doing?
Right.
It frustrates me, bro.
What's the
That's
bare
my
minimum for them? Is it just going to church on Sundays and then doing Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas? That's to them is that's what they're called to do. Is that a fair statement?
So they, my family is really big into the Catholic Church. So my auntie and uncle, they're like Eucharistic ministers. My mom, I think she might have led like a prayer group, but you know what I'm saying? They all in it. Like they all in Catholicism. It's the Catholic Church or bust for them. So I was raised Catholic. Like I said, did all that. I did my first communion, my first penance, my confirmation, all of that, you know what I'm saying? So they all into it. They have like this Catholic Bible. I'm like, that's not even the Bible. Like they changing this. Like what are we really doing, man?
They got a whole bunch of rituals and stuff that they say that got some of it mentions the Bible and some of it don't, or most of it don't. It have like, what do they call it? Catechisms, or I forgot what it's
Catechisms.
called. Yeah, something like
Catechisms.
that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
where they say that they don't want you to read the Bible, that they have to read it for you and all that. So did you do confession and all that too? When you go in and tell the priest or pope that you did this, 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 and you had to say what, a couple of Hail Marys or something like that to be
It was
forgiven?
crazy, Larry. You go in there, you go in there, you kneel down. The priest is behind on one side. There's like this thing. He opens up a door, and you could barely see him. It's kind of like shaded or whatever. You can see him, but you can't really see him. And you tell him, and he said, "Okay, your penance is you got five Hail Marys and three Our Fathers, and then you good." Yeah, okay, though, if you say so.
So about the to back up a little bit about the camps, what camp did you were she involved in, and how did you see through that camp doctrine? Like, nah, this ain't it.
Okay, so when I met her, she introduced me to a guy. His name was Elder Ricard. He was in GOCC, I believe is what it was. So, and basically she didn't meet with them, so we met with them kind of virtually because we were living in New Orleans. And I actually purchased some Bible. It was like some, I think he called it like Bible lessons or something. He used to do like every Sunday, he used to talk about the Bible. And like I said, he got me on the road because he was saying some truth. Like they have some truth, but they mixed some lie in it too. But how I saw through it, he got caught up and certain things that he said, but the thing that really stuck out to me, he got caught up in like some like I think he was like messing with some women and it was like a big scandal or something. I was like, man, this ain't right. Like you preaching us about the Most High, or he was calling them a different name. I'm not even gonna say the name because we're not supposed to mention no other name besides Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? But he was calling some other name, and then he got, and then I think he got caught up with this woman, and it's like a big scandal in the church. And I was like, this ain't right. So that's what kind of made me like, I ain't supposed to be around. And like I said, my Ruach was telling me, like I said, the Most High was leading me through cycles of righteousness. That was one of those cycles. You know what I'm saying? That was one I had to go through that to get to where I'm at today, because that started me. But I knew something wasn't right about it. When I saw that, I was like, nah, that ain't right. And that's this is the comp this is the vote that I need to move on from this. So I moved on from that.
Definitely with that GOCC camp, and I've seen a couple of brothers from New York talking about how they were going to be able to rape young women or rape young girls or get the girls that were from other nations, and they would get to pick them out and rape them. And this was going to be like in the kingdom. I've seen them talk all types of crazy stuff, and of course they get exposed to some of them being Freemasons or Prince Hall. So I every time I come around across those camps, they look at those camps. Or Christians look at the camps, all right, this is the people that the Bible is supposed to be about, and that's not how we were living, and that's not how we were acting either. So I think that's real commendable to you to be able to spot that, because not so many people can spot that type of doctrine and be like, all right, no, this ain't too much. Some people feed into it because it makes you hate the white man. It ain't about hating the white man in scripture at all.
Right, I agree. I agree. Like the Most High, like the Bible says, like just be we are the original branches of the branches, but they can be grafted in. You know, all nations, like even in I think it's in Revelation, they say they're gonna have people from all tribes, all nations, all
All nations.
tongues. So that includes Gentiles. You know what I'm saying? So just because we're the chosen people, we're supposed to be the light to them. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to show them what they're supposed to be doing. And that's how I live my life. I always pray to be a light in this dark world. Oh, that
And
man.
that's funny that you mentioned that, because when they understand that it's going to be all kindreds, all tongues, they still believe that it also means they'll be able to get in through religion. And it's not getting in through religion. And they stop at that point. They'd be like, oh, it says these Hebrew Israelites are saying that nobody but them are getting into heaven. It said, but it's mentioned in Revelations, kindreds and tongues and nation, other nations. But yeah, you still have to walk as we walk. There's not getting in if you're not following the examples that we have set already.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
I don't how how do you think is why do you think it's so difficult for Gentiles to understand this? Why do they think they still can walk separately from the Israelite bloodline and still get into heaven?
It's kind of like what you said. Like, in order to let go, in order to be grafted in, you have to let go of what you've been brought, what the privilege or whatever you're under to give you these advantages in the world. So it's hard to let go of that. Cause I don't know. I kind of think about that, Larry. If I was raised in a culture that everything I did, they made exceptions for me and they gave me advantages of everybody, it would be hard to let that go. It would be. I shouldn't say that, but maybe if I was in that, maybe I would. But obviously, but I'm not in that. I'm in the tribe of Yasharel, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in Yasharel, so tribe of Judah. So I guess that's the thing that's so hard for them to let go. It's kind of like, man, I can go from getting skip the line. I can do what I want. I don't get the same things that the black folks get, if you understand what I'm saying. So I guess that's hard to do for some people. I'm not saying, oh, because they do have some who are strong enough. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna let go of my heritage. I'm gonna let go of what I'm used to. I know this is the truth, and I'm gonna hold on to that.
What do you think men right now should be doing? Men who are captains or leaders of their household, what should they be doing right now to solidify or build up a hedge about them that they aren't tried as the rest of the world is tried in the end times?
Get in your Bible every day and pray with all times of requests, all type of requests at all times of the day. Pray and read. And another thing what helps is fasting is really good. Drink offerings are really good. Wave offerings, anything you can do. The Bible talks to the Most High wants us to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our spirit, and all our strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So whatever you understand, get into the Bible so you can get a proper understanding. Get into the Bible. What you understand, you do that. Don't worry about what man says, because it's your relationship between you and Yahuwah, not Jason and you or whoever, if that makes sense.
Yes. So what do you say to brothers who are walking contrary to the word? Not that they don't know the word, but walking contrary to it, and see the truth and see the correction. What makes you th or say first, what do you say to brothers like that who obviously know the truth but are still propagating the lies from other nations? What do you say to that?
Well, I'm gonna do what the word said. The word says I need word says to bring you in gently with love. So I'm gonna go to you with love, like, hey, brother, I know we came up, we the same fold, whatever, whatever. Look, you really not supposed to be doing this. And I'm gonna come at him, and I'm gonna pray about it. You know what I'm saying? And think, and depending on how close I'm to that person, I might fast about it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna do what the word says. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna fast, and I'm gonna read is what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna take that approach too. I'm gonna take what you just said to heart about fasting for others and praying for others to open their eyes, because coming with a rod just ain't gonna work these days. Because brothers just ready to come with the rod right back, and sometimes you really care for these brothers to open their eyes and see that the way that they're living and the way that they're perverting scripture is not good, not only for him but also for others, or it could be her, those who are listening or following. That it has to be some type of correction there, or humbleness, so we can get back on track and reach as many people as we can. I really struggle with that, because my whole thing is to come with the rod every single time. Just like, playing sports or playing football. Like, you ain't got nothing to do but come with that rod. It ain't coming with love and humility. You come with that rod. So it's definitely a different approach. How do you feel that your approach is and trying to correct somebody that's walking contrary to the word? Do you come with, like you said, gentleness, or when do you know when to come with the rod?
So I'm gonna tell you something, Larry. So you were speaking, and I was thinking about something. I always tell my kids, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. The rod is vinegar. That's vinegar. It's hard to take the rod. With love, compassion, patience, like you talked about earlier, that's honey. That's easy for people to swallow and digest. You know what I'm saying? So how do I do that? Like I said, I'm not perfect. I start off like that, but then I'm getting, hopefully, God willing, I'm getting better at being more patient. That's something I pray about every day, of my patience. Because I have a lot of zeal. I don't know if you could tell from how I'm talking. I have a lot of zeal. You know what I'm saying? So I pray for patience. So I try to think about that first. Like the first thing the Most High said to do is you're supposed to love them as you would love yourself. So I put myself in their shoes. If I was doing that, how would I want somebody to come at me? What would I need somebody to do for me? And obviously that doesn't work 100% of the time because they're not you. And maybe they're not called. Maybe they're not chosen at that time. Then I get impatient, but that's when I pray. I take a break. Like, let me just chill. Let me just chill. Let me take a day or two break for them. And then I'll text them. What's up, bro? How you doing? You know what I'm saying? But I have to chill, because if not, I'm like, man, if you don't, you know what I'm saying? It just gets me upset. I just get so upset. I really do. Cause I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I'm reading the Bible. I'm telling you, it's not my thoughts. This is what the Bible's saying. So you argue with me, you argue with the Most High. You're not arguing with me. And I can show you what I'm talking about. It's not like I'm just talking and I'm not backing it up with scripture. I'm copying and pasting the scripture for you to read. Now, whether you read it or not, I don't know, but I'm at least, but like the Bible says, no man will have an excuse. The other people in my family who I come in contact with, I know they can't say I don't have an excuse. Because guess what? Your crazy cousin Jason was telling you every day, you just refuse to believe the truth, like Yahusha said.
And do you use that same compassion with your wife?
I do.
Oh, you feel like you
I get,
have to,
man,
because
believe, man. I'm telling you, man. We like two rams in there, man. Rams in there, but I'm the leader. But it's, at the end of the day, I know we're supposed to be together, because no matter how much we argue, We'll after a little while, you know, we'll just look at each other, we'll just laugh about it. You know what I'm saying? We'll just laugh. You know what I'm saying? It'll be nothing. But that don't mean the problem is solved because it's still something else.
Right.
It's never like we get so mad about it that we just, oh, we just done. You know what I'm saying? It's never like that. So
Okay.
that's how I know the Most High put us together. Like I said, I married her after a month, and I've been married. It'll be 10 years in
Wow.
July. 10 years in July.
Wow, bro. That's wow. From a month. From
A
30
month.
days, bro. 30
I'm
days, we
telling
had 10 years.
you, Yahuwah told me. I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. I felt like he was telling me. He was telling me.
You guys fast at all when like you have complications in a relationship? Do you feel like you take a break and be like, all right, let's fast for a couple of days? Have y'all reached that part?
I haven't done that with her per se, but I do it on my own. I do it
Okay.
on my own because I'm the head. I'm the head. So if I want her to come around and she don't want to listen, I can't force her to fast. So
Okay.
I'll do it on my own and pray about it. Like I said, I'm gonna tell my daddy on you. I'm gonna tell my daddy on you. You ain't listening to me. All right, I'm gonna tell my daddy on you. He'll get you. She listen to him. You know what I'm saying? You might not listen to me, but you gonna listen to him because he got ways that I
How
don't
does
know
she
about.
receive the correction from the Most High when you say that?
Like most, I guess, wives do, like they hard at first, and then after a while, it's kind of like I said, we work through things. So I think sometimes it's hard for her. I think my wife it's hard for my wife to say, you know, I was wrong. I was sorry. And I love my wife, but that's one of the things that I struggle with her. Like she doesn't like when she I show her that she's wrong. It's hard for her to come back and say, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong. She might say. She well, let me take that back. She has apologized, but she usually sometimes she don't say she apologizes for what she did. She doesn't. That's real. That's just being blunt out. We not perfect, but I know we in it for life, Larry. We
Right,
in it for life.
and I hope that especially for you and especially in my situation, that we, you know, what we do and how we walk, especially when it comes to our apologies, that it kind of trickles down onto them to see that we are able to be humble and show humility and say sorry and apologize and hoping one day they'll come around and say, hey, I'm sorry. And with mine, she's gotten a lot better with saying, you know, I'm sorry and correcting herself. And especially when I don't come with her with the rod, which means you don't do this, you don't do that. Y'all said this, I stop doing it. I kind of let her go through her moments and leave her alone. And I'll just separate for a while. And then she'll come back and say, hey, I'm apologizing for this and this and that. And then she'll go just like, she'll go right to Sister Susanna. She'll sit there and listen to that for like a good 4 or 5 hours. She'll come back and be all correct. And so that's why I really gave my brothers and sisters that page, that channel, so you could get a softer blow. Because I don't get it with our women that what it is about our voice or presence that terrifies them. It'd be like, nah, I'm not being submissive to you, even though they love us and stay with us, they sleep in the bed with us. But when it comes to correction, like, nah, we don't want to hear that from you.
Larry, I'm telling you, I think somebody said something. I don't know if I saw it online, but it's like women, they want to be heard. They just want to be heard. They want to feel like, because my wife tells me, you're not listening. You're not listening. I'm like, babe, I'm listening. Well, tell me what I just said. It's like, if I can't repeat verbatim, I'm
Oh.
saying what she said. If I can't repeat verbatim what you're saying, I'm not listening. Like, no, babe, I love you. I do listen. So I've gotten better with that in the beginning. I'm not gonna lie, I was trying to listen just to respond, but now I've gotten better with that. Now
Okay.
I'm like, now I'm able to say, this is what you said. And she's like, okay, he was listening. So she can't use that on me a lot anymore. In the past, she used to use that because I couldn't say it verbatim what she said. I'm like, babe, just because I can't say exactly what you said doesn't mean I wasn't listening. I think they just want to be heard, Larry. I think that's
Right.
what it's about.
And that's a perfect example because mine just want to be heard, not really get the problems facing solutions. She just want to be heard about the problems. And me, I hear problems so I can give you the solution, so I can tell you what y'all said. But it's like they don't want to hear the solution. So you want to just, you know, be lost in the dark, not, you know, finding solutions to your problems, and you just voice them without any solutions. Like, I don't understand. Like, I guess that's a woman, the difference between women and men. Like, men, we see the logic and be like, all right, you having a problem with this? Let me fix this then. But women be like, I want you to hear all of about the problem and that's it. I struggle with that too, especially with showing attentiveness to that issue.
You know, it's something, a scripture just came to my mind. I don't know if I'm gonna recite it correctly, but they said something about a woman that's always learning but never like getting better or something.
Yeah,
You know
coming
what I
to the
mean?
knowledge of the
Yeah,
truth.
it's like they always learn and learn and learn it, but you're not applying it. Like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like you listen and you hear it, but now use it. Use it. Do something with it. Don't just I know it. I want you like you're not doing that. Like, okay, that's fine, but let's work something out. Let's make it work. Put it into practice.
In your opinion, what do you feel like our sisters really struggle with when they come from into this walk from out from the world?
Being submissive, because I think a lot of women out there on their own. Because when I met my wife, the man of the house was her oldest son. He at the time he was what, 17? So she didn't have a man who lived with her, and I don't think she really grew up with a dad like that. You know, she's close to her dad now, but she didn't grow up with her dad. I think, you know, they had issues with her and her mom or whatever. But they didn't. I think that's what it is. Just being under the stewardship of a man, especially a man of Yah, who's contrary to the ways of the world, it's kind of like a culture shock for a lot of women. You know what I'm saying? Like we coming at you with the most high, not what we want, but what the most high want. Obviously, it's what we want now, but it's what the most high wants. So it's hard for them to be like, "Hey, you're right. I'm gonna submit." Yeah, because at the end of the day, like there's a scripture in. I think it's in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. It says, and I hope I don't offend nobody with this, but it's in the Bible. It says, "I've been searching and not finding, but he said, I found one righteous man among 1,000, but not one woman amongst them all." And I think that has a lot to do with what we deal with as followers in a way, and that's real.
Bro, this has been an amazing show. Give us your words of wit your pearls of wisdom for the for this last couple of minutes.
The wisdom is love the Most High, love Yahuwah with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit, all yourself, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the other thing is, in this world, like Yahushua said, he sent us out as sheep among wolves. A prayer that I pray every day, I said it before, you need a prayer to be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. Because if you walk around like, oh, your head chopped off. And that's real.
Like they say in football, keep your head on the swivel.
On a swivel. On a swivel. On a swivel.
I really appreciate you doing this last minute. It's been a blessing. I'm glad that we'd be able to converse in the email and especially on the comment section of the episodes. And I definitely want to talk to you more off the episodes, and so we can get to know each other a little bit more and see how you're doing with this walk in the future. And maybe, hopefully, one day I come out there and talk to your kids down in
Well, I would
Atlanta.
love it. I would love it. I would love it. A legend? Larry Johnson? Come on, man. Say less.
I
I
appreciate you again, Ak.
appreciate you, brother.
Right, thank you.
Yes, sir.